Bueno, yo no falo portugués, evidente. So I'll swap to English if it's okay. Look in that screen because I'm a little bit thinner there than there, a bit fatter. My name is Fernando. I work for Microsoft. I work for Microsoft Spain. Is it okay if I speak in English? I can try Portuguese, but you're not going to understand. Yes? English okay? Cool. Okay. You can tell a lot of things about a person just by watching his avatar. Mine, you can tell that I don't like to speak in public. I like to cover my face. Yeah, and, well, there I am. I actually like all the science fiction movies. That's a Tron outfit. And the helmet has something to do with me. It's that all the things I like to do, apart from studying computer science and things like that, everything is related to these type of sports that can hurt you. So riding on a motorbike really fast, doing paraglide, skydiving, all that my wife loves. And that she always tells me, you haven't earned enough money yet to do all these things. You're going to die one day soon. And well, that's what the helmet's for, to try to protect me a little. It doesn't do much, but there you go. You can find my email there. In Portuguese, I can try and translate using Bing. But hey, there you go. I'll try and reply if needed. Okay, so let's talk about direct access. I saw quite a lot of people that have already at least been playing around with IP6. Anyone had the chance to put direct access in their environment? Yes? Wow. No one, absolutely no one in the whole of Spain put their hands up here. No one. Well, IP6, no one either. But, whatever. Anyway, for me, it was love at first sight. To be honest, the evangelist role inside Microsoft is the best job in the world. Why? Because we get to try all the cool stuff. And if we don't like it, we don't have to talk about it. We can just run away. Tell someone else to talk about it. I don't know. Dart. I love Dart, but you can always tell someone else to talk about it. But for me, direct access was love at first sight. I tried it the minute Windows was out. We were in a pilot inside Microsoft, and I was one of the first to try it out. It hasn't worked well from the beginning, I can tell you that. It's been getting better, and we're still getting there. So there's still things that we need to get better, but it is a technology that I think you guys will love. For me, it was love at first sight, and I've not always been an evangelist. I was a support engineer in Microsoft when I started off 8-9 years ago. And when I was a support engineer, here you have a picture of me. I'm just telling a client off because he's not following my orders. I didn't need to connect to the office. I was at home. I just, I was at work. I worked and then I left. And normally, I wouldn't go back and connect to the office. I didn't need the resources inside my office once I had left. But now as an evangelist, and you can see me here with a Bible, trying to evangelize you guys. This isn't actually me. It's one of my colleagues inside my department. This is when I met her. The first time I came to Microsoft, I started off in December, and this was the party that was there. And I saw her like that, and she was a support engineer like me. And she swapped into evangelism role, and I've been following her. So she doesn't know that I'm stalking her. So please, don't tell her, right? Okay. So what you can see is that now in the evangelism role, you're not always in the office. I'm never in the office. If you've been following what we've been doing, we were in Pamplona less than a week ago. And yeah, you can see Paolo there getting the bull by the horns. And Danny, well, he was on top. Thank God no one saw us because we would be in jail. We wouldn't have made it here. But there you go. Then we went off, and we went off to Madrid. And finally, well, you know, it's very hard work, this job. So sometimes we get some nice things as well. And there you go. We travel all around. And when we travel, we need to be connected. We always need to be connected. And direct access is incredible for that. And I'll tell you things about direct access in a second. Because I saw that all of you, or most of you, connect to your offices using VPN. Is that correct? Yeah? Everyone's using VPNs. VPNs have certain problems. For example, disconnections. In Spain, I use an ADSL company, well, Movistar. And to be honest, I'm not sure if they're trying to bug me or what they're doing is they're just trying to cut all the connections out there so that they don't use like cool tools like torrents and stuff. But the thing is, when I'm connected to the office using a VPN connection and I get disconnected, it is completely horrible because in Microsoft, we need at least a couple of minutes to connect each time. Because why? Because they check out if we have every antivirus update, if we have absolutely every configuration up to date, etc. And they even look inside my throat and see if I've brushed my teeth. So to be honest, it takes a while. It takes a long while to get into the office. And each little micro disconnection takes forever to connect again. And that is very challenging. Other thing that you get is... well, so in my house, for example, I have network connections all over the house, but I also have a wireless connection. And if I unplug one thing and I go to the couch and start working, I have to connect again. And that's a pain. And the last thing here, it needs interaction by the user. For us that are in this room, that is no problem at all. Why? Because we all know that if we need to connect to certain resources inside our organizations, we just have to click the VPN, we connect in, and then we work. And then if we don't need it, we just disconnect, and we carry on working externally. But what about your users? Do your users have that in mind? Do they always know? In the end, what they do is, yeah, for everything, just click inside here, and I'll go in, and they'll redirect me to internet if I need it, etc. And that's expensive, okay? So... VPNs are great. They've managed to allow us to go around the world and still be able to access our corporations, but they have problems. So that's what Direct Access is here to try and solve, if I can. Oop, I don't know if I lost the mouse. There you go. Okay, so what is Direct Access and what does it do better? It does better management. Why? Because the VPNs, when you connect inside your organizations, great, you're in there and you can access everything, but you're just there for a while and then you leave. Direct Access, you're always connected, so you can actually be working from a beach if you want to. And you're always connected inside your organization. What does this mean? That you, for starters, don't need to do anything. You connect and you're in there. But for the admin as well, you're always in there. So they can update policies, they can update antivirus software, they can update security patches, whatever. You are connected. You are just an extension of your network. So wherever you are, you're connected and I can access you and I can manage your PC. And that's great. And there's a reduction of costs, obviously. Why? Two things here. The first thing is because when you connect, to a corporate server, you're going to use a corporate network. But when you connect externally, you're not going to use that network. You're going to go externally directly. You're not coping all the bandwidth of your organization. But there's another thing why the cost reduction is, because you don't have to form your users to tell them, hey, look, every time you need this application, first go here, connect to a VPN, and then go ahead and get inside your network. So there's two things of cost reductions. We don't have to form our users, and secondly, we're not using our bandwidth for everything inside our organization. And security and flexibility, why? Because IP6, and you guys know it, in Spain, they didn't, it's using IPsec. IPv4 was not meant for security, but IP6 was. IP6 has been born thinking specially on security, and we are taking advantage of that to make your connections more secure into the organization. Okay, this is a slide I don't like to show. Why? Because every time I've shown this in Spain, everyone has said, oh. Yeah, cool, cool. You're talking about something that we need, we like. But when I tell you what you need to build it, everyone just runs away. So hope this doesn't happen here, because you guys are a little bit more advanced, at least in network traffic, than we are. Because our ADSL connections are probably like 1 megabyte download, 256K upload. I think you have a little bit better here, but I only think it. Paolo here is my colleague, and when we went around Spain talking about certain things inside Windows 7, etc., he was always saying that none of this was useful in Portugal, because you guys had connectivity way, way better than we have. Anyway, what do you need? You need Windows 7 as a client. You can have Windows 7 or Windows 2000 R2 as clients. Another thing you need is at least one Windows Server 2008 R2 machine. And that machine, what it's going to do is it's going to be between the internet and your organization. That's the one that you have to configure to allow traffic inside your organization. That has to be a 2008 R2. But the whole of your network doesn't have to be 2008 R2, okay? You need direct access, obviously, and you need PKIs. PKIs is extremely important, and this has to do with all the security mechanisms that we put in place in direct access. PKIs is what we need so that every machine that's in the environment gets a certificate, and that certificate we're going to use to get inside our corporate networks. So PKI, necessary. And finally, I didn't translate this, but two public IPs, and they have to be consecutive. This is extremely difficult to get in Spain. I'm not sure about here. But the thing is, why do we need that? We need that because internet is not IPv6 yet. We need translation mechanisms, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. But these translation, one of them is called Teredo. And it needs to know exactly where it is. It needs to be able to check two consecutive IP addresses. And that's why we need it. If we were in IP6 today, we wouldn't need that. Okay? Okay, so before my colleague here, David, has talked about the death of XP. So today, I'm here to talk about the death of IPv4. I've been looking into IPv6 for a couple of years now, and when I started off, I found this counter, there was like 19% of IPs left, and there was a counter that they had made to monitor how many IPs were left in IPv4 addresses were left in the world, and we have now run out of IPv4s. It's not exactly true, because there are pools of IPv4s already owned by companies that could be released in order to make this grow again. But there's no more. So that counter has reached zero. If you want, I can just show you. If you click there, and we go to the web page. Does that machine have internet connection? Okay. Okay, this one's in Spanish. It still says 1%, but if you look here, it says zero. We don't have any more. Anyway, don't panic. It can still work. Okay, go back to the presentation. Okay. Will we have IPv6 tomorrow, everyone? Well, no, we won't. That's why we need transition technologies. And transition technologies is actually two. That's 6-to-4 and Teredo. There's also an internal one called Isotap. And we've created one there, IP-HTTPS, that what we are doing is basically encapsulating all IPv4 traffic and IPv6 traffic and putting it into IPv4 and sending it through 443. Okay, so that's just a protocol we've created to avoid problems when, for example, you're in a hotel room and the hotel only has allowed external traffic for 80 and 443. Well, you can use that one to carry on working against your environment. And here I've just left all the protocols and the port numbers you need, just so that you can open your firewalls if you need to put this in place. Right, let's do it on the floor. No? Can you, who's next? This mouse probably doesn't reach so far. Okay, I want to show you my environment. This is my environment. I just built it for the demo. It's not very complicated. I have a corpnet over there. It's just using a 10.0.0.0, but 24, so 255.255.255.0. And there I just have a DC and an application server. And that application server has got a share and it's got a web server. Then I've got the DA in the middle. So it has two network addresses, yes. One for the internet and one for corporate. Then I have, that would be my internet. I just have one server up there. And finally I have a home network, which I have a NAT in the middle so that we can go in and out. Okay, I used to show the installation mode. I've already installed it for the demo, but to be honest, it's fairly simple to install. What you need to do is two things. You just activate a feature inside 2008 R2, activate a feature, and secondly, just follow a four-step wizard. It's very, very, very simple. I'll show you in a second all the steps, just so you can see. But let's go on and talk about the process and how it works, direct access. And then I'll show you the demo so that I don't talk much more. Okay, what happens here? What happens here is a client turns on his computer and it starts up. That computer, the first thing it does, even before you put in your username and password, it tries to get an IP address to see where it is. So the first thing it does is, okay, let me see, where am I? Do I get an IPv6 directly? Yes, that's great. Then you don't need to do anything else. Just connect to your direct access server, even before I've put in my credentials. Obviously, IPv6 is still not out there, so I don't have an IPv6 address, but I'm in the internet. I am connected, imagine, with a 3G device, and I've got a public IP address, and hey, I'm using 64 as my transition technology. If I'm inside a NAT, I would use Teredo, and finally, if I'm inside a NAT, but I have a firewall cutting my traffic out, I would use IP HTTPS. Even before I've logged on, I know where I am, I know what IP I've got, and I'm trying to connect directly to the server. So what I do is I create a tunnel, I put all IPv6 traffic in there, I put it in an IPv4 tunnel, and I send it off to my direct access server. But before I do that, I encrypt it once again. Okay, I have all the traffic encrypted, and obviously that is a lot of load for my server. If I have two users, or one, like is my case, it's fine, no need. If I have 10,000, probably I'll need another server somewhere that can help me do all the translations and encryptions and decryptions. So I can put an IPsec gateway machine, and that machine does not have to be a Microsoft machine. It can be a Linux, it can be whatever you want. Okay, so we would send the traffic over there, and that would send it over. Inside our corporate network, we just have three choices. The first choice is to decide if the connection is gonna go without IPsec, so no encryption inside our network, or we can choose to connect the server that we're going to access to. It needs to have a certificate, and we need to be able to ask him if he really is who we think he is, but then the traffic won't be encrypted, or finally just keep the whole encryption from end to end so that we can have it. Well, it's the three things you have to choose. There's one thing I didn't say before. When I was talking about VPNs, there's a problem with VPNs. If you give access to someone, you give access to everything. So you tell him, you can get in the organization, you can access everything. Or you can't access, so you can't access anything. In direct access, you can actually choose which servers each person is going to be able to access. So you can minimize the risk if you want. Inside Microsoft, we have direct access working, and we don't limit that. So we can actually access the same things that we access through VPN, also through direct access. So you can choose. Okay, let me show you a little bit about this. If my demo works, I'll show you direct access in action. Let's open this. Let's change computers. Well, let me see. I'm not sure if I am sending the signal. Okay. Okay, so there you go. The signal sent. Okay, this is my client machine. My client machine currently is inside the network. If I do an IP config, what you can see is two things. First of all, I have an internal address, IPv4, and I've also got an IPv6 address. Well, what you can see is that I'm using an IPv6, but it's an isotap. So isotap would be more or less like the automatic IP protocol, APIPA. I always say the whole name. And what it's doing is it's translating the 10.0.0.10, and it's converting it into something he can understand as IPv6. The only important thing about this is it starts with a 2. If it starts with a 2 or with a 3, the IPv6 address, it means it is routable through internet. So it can be found through the internet. So you see there, if I do a ping my DC, I can reach it, and I'm reaching it through IPv6. If I do a ping APP1, I also reach. Well, obviously, I'm inside the network, so everything is working normally. I'm accessing APP1 through its web interface, etc. Everything is working. Okay, what happens if this machine leaves the office? He turns off the machine, he leaves the office, he goes to the internet, he's in Starbucks, and he's sitting down there. We're applying the network. Turns on his PC, opens his laptop, and if I put IP config, I've changed networks. So I no longer have a 10 address, I have a 131 address. 131.107.0.101. And if you look here, I am using an IPv6 transition technology called 6-to-4, and I've changed the type of address. If I ping DC, I can reach. Wow. If I open my browser, I can reach. And let's see if I can reach if I go /APP1/files, for example. There you go. I can reach. I could just create something here. Let's create a folder. Just create a folder so you can see that I'm not cheating. I don't think it's spelled like that, so let's just put not. Okay, there you go. See, I can access everything. Let's close this. Now, let's see what happens if I swap network again. There, I've finished my coffee, so there we go. Casa. Casa? How do you say casa in Portuguese? The same. Great. Okay, so let's go to casa. And if I do IP config, I still haven't got a network address, so let's do that again. Ah, there you go. Let's put ipconfig/all so I can see that I'm... Okay. You see, I have a 192.168.137. If I go down a little, I have a Teredo address. There you go. So 201, etc. If I go and say ping DC, yes, it worked. You see, we have a thing when we're doing these talks. If one of your demos doesn't work, you pay a lamb or a paella. But this case, a lamb. So it worked. Has any of yours not worked? Did yours work today? I think you had to put in some things manually. Ah! So who thinks he should pay? Thank you, thank you. I think there's more than half of them. Okay, okay, let's carry on. Okay, let's see if I can actually connect to my web machine. Yes, I can. Let's try and go into files. So app1/files. Okay, I can reach. I can reach everything. There's even more to this. Paolo and me are both in direct contact, and we sometimes need to share things. And we're running around the world, running around Spain, and yeah, we've got pen drives and we pass things around. But sometimes I need to access his computer, sometimes he needs to access mine. And we don't need to connect into the organization and be able to share stuff. We are always connected. So I can just tell him, just look for my machine. And he just looks for my machine, and there it is. And he can access my things. So think of this as an extension of your networks. So really cool. Really cool technology. And it works. It works great. And it's secure. Okay, let's swap again. We'll do some more demoing in a second. Okay, there's a very important thing, a very important term on NRPT, Name Resolution Policy Table. This basically indicates if we're inside the organization or outside. So, why is this important? Well, it's important because if I'm outside the organization, I need to build this table. If I'm inside the organization, I don't, because I already have access to everything. So what is this table? This table, what it's doing is it's generating a list of places I need to connect in order to connect to my organization. So for example, if I need to connect to a resource inside Microsoft, I need to use a DNS that's inside Microsoft. And in that table, that's what it says. If I want to go to the internet, I don't. So in that table, it won't appear, and I'll just go using my normal connection. If you want to use, you want every user to use your organization and back out again, it's easy. In this table, you just put asterisco. How do you say that? Asterisco. Asterisco. Punto asterisco. And there you go. Everything will go through your organization and out to the internet. I wouldn't recommend that, really. But maybe for security reasons, you need to know what your people are doing and where they're going. So let's show you the troubleshooting tools we have in order to work around with direct access, because it is a technology that's really cool, but it's complicated. It has a lot of things in the way. So what are we going to do to be able to troubleshoot all this? For example, there's a tool, and it's a tool that's been there for a while, but it's not been used much, called NetSH. Anyone played around with NetSH? Yes? Well, quite a few of you. Great. Well, NetSH will help us not only work with direct access, but with all our network connectivity inside our machines. So, for example, if you have branch cache, you can use NetSH. If you have, want to play around with your interfaces, you use NetSH, etc. For direct access, it's needed, and everything is there. So, if I, for example, I want to show the table I was talking to you about, I would just say namespace. Oh, and this tool, it has a cool thing. You don't really need to type in all the code. You can just put name and it would get it as well. So NetSH, I'm going to type it in complete, but it would be namespace, show effective policy. Okay, if I just put effective, it would work. And it should show me that table. Okay, the table is very simple. It's just telling me, if you are going to go to cork.dadom.com, use this DNS server. For the rest, just use the DNS server you have. But there's a machine here called nls.corp.dadom.com. That is an important machine. The NLS, the network location server, you need to access it. But it cannot be accessed from the internet, because that is the machine that's going to tell you if you're inside the network or outside. Okay? So we have to look in for this. So what it's saying is, for this machine, don't go and look at, and that it's inside that domain, don't go and look at that IP address. Just use your DNS that you have wherever you are. Okay, so if I use, instead of this tool, if I go ahead and use, no, the same tool, NetSH, And I just say DNS. It would be DNS client. Let's just write it. DNS client. Show state. It will give us quite a lot of information of what's going on. But the most important thing here is that the machine location is actually outside the corporate network. So it hasn't found the NLS server, and it's letting me get in. One other thing you can do with this tool, for example, would be disable an interface. So let's just go here, do ipconfig. See, I still have a Teredo. If I do ping DC, it works. So let's go ahead and say netsh. Interface, Teredo, set state disabled. If I disable this, it needs elevating permissions. Well, let's give it to him. Let's see. NetSH, interface, Teredo, set state disabled. Okay. What happens if I do an ipconfig slash all? I don't have any address. If I do ping DC, I can't reach. Okay. That's normal. Right? So, how would I fix this? What other tools do we have? Well, we have a tool that you probably all know about, but you probably never ever used, and it's Inside Network Sharing Center, which is troubleshooting problems. You can see it's searching online for additional troubleshooting packs. What does this mean? It means that each time you guys are working with our product, you give us information about it, and our support guys solve things. This goes in here, and we can add information to these troubleshooting packs to help you fix new problems that come into play. Okay, here we have some of them for like internet connection, shared folders, things that happen daily. But we also have a direct access one. If I execute it, I can actually go into advanced and I can run it as an admin. But I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to repair automatically. It's not going to repair it anyway because it's going to tell me what's wrong with it, but it's not going to let me do it because the admin has manually disabled Teredo. But it's going to tell me what the problem is. So the first thing you're going to tell your customers is, okay, don't bother me much. Just try this. Let's see if there's a problem with DNS, whatever. Just get the logs and send them over. Okay? So this would be the first step probably for your clients to look into the problem that is occurring to them. Collecting all the details, etc. So it's found a feature required for this connection has been disabled. There you go. It's telling us clearly. Okay, well, what is it? If we go in here, it's telling me a feature for this connection is disabled, and it's to fix it, you just need to enable Teredo. Okay, if we told it to fix it, it would have tried. It wouldn't have made it. Okay, but at least it would have tried. So, well, what I need would be to enable it, and that would be it. But there's something else here. If I go down, I see that, hey, I've disabled Teredo. It should have connected using IP HTTPS, because that's what I've told him. I've told him, use IP HTTPS in order to connect to your organization. Well, it hasn't worked, and it hasn't worked, and normally when IP HTTP doesn't work, it's because we haven't published correctly the CRL of our infrastructure. So PKIs are important, but we also need to publish the CRL. Revocation lists of our environment have to be published in the internet. Why? Because when we connect, we're giving our certificate to our machine, and we're telling it, hey, I want to connect. But if that machine is lost, etc., we can revocate the certificate. And it needs to look into that list before it can connect. So I have a problem with the revocation list. I don't think I have time to fix it, or maybe I do. Okay, well, we'll see. I just want to show you some other tools before we go into that. Let's see, where did I? Here. Okay, let's start. No, it was the other one. Sorry. Here. Let's just start Teredo again. So let's go ahead and netsh interface, Teredo. It was set. Oh, set state client. There's other states. There's enterprise client, and then it wouldn't have let me disable it manually because it's been set by the admin in the corporate network, and it wouldn't have let me. But here it did. So if I go to ipconfig and I ping DC, I can get there again. So there's another nice little tool out there that can help us troubleshoot this further. And it's called Direct Access Connectivity Assistant. And it's that little thing down here. That is meant so that the users, when they see that, they know straight away if they can connect or not. I don't know if you guys saw it, but when we disabled Teredo, this had a red cross there. And it's just telling you can't connect. Sometimes you can connect to the internet, you can connect to the corporate network, but not to internet, etc. So it has quite a lot of different states. But what the cool thing about it is that we can go ahead and say advanced diagnostics, it will generate a certain amount of logs, most of them using NetSH to get all the information of your network, and it will let you email them directly to your admin or whoever you don't like the most, the person you hate the most. You can just go ahead and every time someone presses this little button here, hey, send him quite a lot of information he's not going to know what to do with. Okay, if I go in here, you can see I have two files. One of them is already put into a little packet, and the other one is just a log file. It's the same thing. And you can just see, I just want to show you what things it does. The first thing it does is it tries certain addresses that you've already set. So you set through policies. I'll show you policies in a minute. It's telling me to go to APP1 there. It's doing a ping. It's doing an HTTP there. I can put a file search, etc. But you need to have that file in. If you don't, it won't work. And this is important. The DTEs, dynamic tunneling endpoint. What does that mean? The dynamic tunneling endpoint, what it's saying is it's the place where it's the IPsec is going to be decrypted. So if you need to put IPsec inside your organizations and you want to do a ping to one of those, you need to put an additional line there. This is the IPv6 address for my server, okay? So you need to put that into your group policies. But then it does a lot of things. It goes ahead and it comes out with IP config all configurations. If I go down here a little, you can see that it's showing me the NetSH Teredo show state. It can show me the DNS show state. So it's showing me also the table of addresses, etc. So you can see it's got quite a lot of information that you can analyze as an admin to see what's going on. Okay, you can see, especially that it's normally always using that command. That is your new best friend if you want to troubleshoot networking issues on Windows 7. Okay, so let me go ahead and show you the DA. Well, not sure what that's doing here. And I'm going to show you two things. I told you before that I was going to show you the installation phase. I'll do that in a second. But first of all, I want to show you the policies. When we go through these four-step wizard, what it's basically doing is preparing the DA with a certain amount of policies. In this case, there's two. There's one for the machines and one for the direct access machine, so you can have more than one direct access machine, and they would apply the second policy. But also, in my case, I didn't have IPv6, so what it did, it created my DA as a ISOTAP server, so that all the rest would become ISOTAP hosts, and I could access them using IPv6. Here, if I go into this policy, and I go to policies, administrative templates, and there you go. Direct access connectivity assistant. And I've only enabled two of them, DTEs and corporate resources. If I go into corporate resources, so you can see what I was talking about before, there I have added the list of places it needs to be able to get to make sure that it can reach the office. The DTEs also, so let's show them. And there's a couple more policies. They're very simple. But for example, the support email, I didn't add anything here, so let's just say that, yes. It's not the person I hate most, but there you go. It's his turn to fix this. I could create a portal site to take everyone there to explain what has happened and why they can't connect, whatever. I can even run an admin script to get more information out of that machine. So the admin scripts that are by default are just getting information about the network, but we could do certain things, certain additional things. Okay, just let me show you quickly. If I go to my client again, I'm not sure if I saved all this. Let's just save it. If I go to my client, one of the things that I was talking about, I'm always connected. What does that mean? Well, that if I do a GP update, I am in the office, so I can get updated. Okay, if this works. Okay, there you go. So it worked. And if it is finished, maybe here, let's close it again. Let's see if it diagnoses a problem again. I put in an email, so when the logs generate, here they go. I have that is not grayed out anymore. If I press on it, it's going to give me an error because on this machine, I don't have an email application, but I could just be sending one click all the logs to this person. Okay? Let's go into the installation phase. The installation phase is really, really, really simple. But there is a but to it. The installation phase is very simple, but the preparation of your domain is not. So you need to put in place a PKI, etc. But the installation phase is very simple. Let me show you. How do you install it? Well, you jump in here and you activate one feature. It's not a role, it's a feature. So what you would go into is features. I've already installed it, so it'll appear there. And when I install this feature, the only thing it's going to tell me is that it also needs another additional feature, which is the group policy. Ooh, let me see. No, not there. Let me go again into here. There you go. The features there, I've just installed this one, Direct Access Management Console, and it installs this one as well, the Group Policy Management. That's basically it. And it takes 2 seconds to install. Then if you go to Start, Advanced Tools, and Direct Access Management, that one, you just have a four-step wizard, which I'll go through now. The first step is just going to identify the remote clients that are going to be allowed inside our organization. In this case, it's a group, and it's a group of machines. Okay? It just has machines, DA clients. If I go into my DC, you can see it here. I have a group. If I say properties and I show you the members, I only have one member, and it's a computer. So that is meant for computer accounts, that first step. Yay, and finish. Simple, right? Okay, second step, even simpler. You just have to tell it, okay, we're in a DA, so it has two network addresses. Just tell it which address is going to be for the external network, which one is going to be for the internal network. The only thing you can get wrong here is that you swap them around. And the second thing that I personally had the problem was that I didn't swap them around, but I did swap their DNS suffix. So I changed this name, was in the external network, and the internet one was in the internal network. And that mixed my environment up quite a little. So hopefully that won't happen to you. It's very simple to avoid. Next step is the certificates. You need to have your corporate certificate, which all of your machine accounts are going to request for a certificate. That would be the first one. And the second one is the certificate that will be shown to every user that is trying to connect using IP-HTTPS so that you can connect externally to the DA server. The DA server is called da.corp.dadom.com, but you can create a new certificate for that machine, and that's what I did. But that's basically what you have to do, and finish. Second step, gone. Third step, it's very simple as well, and the most important thing, NLS server. This server has to be accessible inside your corporate network and inside only, and recommended it be in a highly available server. Okay? Simple. If that goes down and I'm inside my organization but I can't reach it, I'm in trouble. I'll start not being able to get anywhere inside my organization because I'm trying to connect using DNSs from all over the world. So there you go. That step is important. And the next step is just telling me the list of DNS servers for the different domains. If I had 10 domains here, I'd have 10 different DNS servers to connect to. I only have one, so there you go. And finally, this would be where I configure other servers for management and all the IPsec traffic, etc. I could add them here. My environment, I don't have any of that, so finish. And finally, last step is where I would select the machines I want to allow connection. In this case, I let them connect to everything inside my organization, so I don't do it. And I'm not requiring authentication end-to-end. If I wanted to require authentication end-to-end, I would do it in this screen. And it has nothing else. You just finish this last step here. You save, and you just tell it to finish. And it would, it will give you a list of all the tasks it's going to do. And finally, you just tell it to do it, and it would just create all the policies, etc. If you've changed the certificates, if you've changed all the stuff, it would appear here. Only one other thing I want to show, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I do want to go into the DA server, and I want to show you that certificate and why IP-HTTPS wasn't working. If I go into where is it? Administrative tools, and I go into, PKI is not in here, it's in the DC, sorry. If I go certification authority, and I go into here, properties, extensions, what I see is that I have this is the CRL it should be locating. And we'll have to look if that CRL is accessible. I'm not going to do it because it does take quite a lot of steps to get there. And I guess you guys are hungry by now, right? They told me that in Portugal you eat very early. In Spain we normally have lunch at 3, but I don't think it's your case. So troubleshooting tool just there. NetSH, your best friend. That's going to give you lots and lots of information. The connectivity assistant, easy for the user so he can send you stuff and he doesn't have to do much. And the troubleshooting tools are there and we make them better. Okay, so they're there and each time you refresh, you're going to refresh them. So if we find additional problems, they're going to be there. So basically, that's direct access. I hope some of you will try it out. It's a really, really cool technology. And let's have lunch, and thank you. These are all my information. If you want to contact me, you have my blog, my email, and my Twitter account. There you go. And thank you all for being here. Let's have lunch.